Hello and welcome to another Storm in a Tea Break. We are the Trope Stormers. My name is Chris Jeeves and I'm assisted as always by my co-host, co-pilot, Mr. Jim Carberg. How are you, sir?
I'm in the seat next to you and I'm ready to storm some tropes for one of our podcasts with an improved sound.
New year, new sound.
Yeah, I actually sound like this. It just didn't come across in previous podcasts.
I know, I sounded like I was stoned down a well, and hopefully that hasn't, just how my voice sounds. So, without further ado, and today in this Storm in a Tea Break, we are going to be looking at the reboot.
Ooh.
There's a lot of terms that get banded around in movies, I feel. You know, there's reboot, remake, rehash, lots of words with re at the beginning, basically. So I guess
Be kind, rewind.
That was a really good film, in my opinion, although I only saw it once in the cinema, and, you know, it might be one of those that on rewatch wasn't quite so good.
There's not enough Mos Def.
There's definitely not enough. He went for it, like, he had a purple patch where he was in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy as well, and he was really good.
Yeah, he's good in that.
Yeah, I think that was my first exposure to Zooey Deschanel. That's when the love story started.
Elf for me, I think. Elf was my first. She's blonde in that as well, so it's a bit confusing.
It was, yeah, I get that. It's confusing. She is a quintessential manic pixie dream girl.
But you dropped your first reboot there when you mentioned Hitchhiker's Guide.
I know. That was an unintentional drop. I mean, that was based off a TV show, right? From the late 70s. That was on BBC.
Yeah. It started as a radio show, I think, and then it became a...
Well, it started as a book.
It did indeed, yeah.
Douglas Adams, one of my favourites. So, reboot. This is a term we're sort of banding it a little bit about. Shall we define it for the people?
Yeah, well, to the layman, it might be a 90s cartoon that we used to watch, but...
I'm so glad you snuck that in.
Oh, well, it had to be done, didn't it? I was just getting in before you did.
We'll come back to that. Let's keep the definition rolling.
Yeah. Focus.
Yeah, stay on track. So reboots, it signifies a sort of new start to an established fictional universe or series. It kind of discards continuity to recreate characters, plot lines, the backstory, all from the beginning. And it's kind of often thought of as a way to rebrand or restart a franchise that's already established and well-known. It's differentiated from the remake, which is part of an established film series or other media franchise. So there you go.
Yeah, I was trying to decipher that myself, really, because it's like a reset button, I suppose, isn't it, for stories?
Yeah, I guess in a way you can, if you have something like The Hulk and someone's done a Hulk movie or the Spider-Man movies, I suppose, are a really good example of this. You can basically just imagine that nothing has gone before, but everybody knows Spider-Man's story. So you don't have to have him bitten by a spider. You can dispense with all of that and just have the guy going around web-slinging in his red and blue outfit, and you can just adapt it. I think it's a really good way for studios to save money and target new young audiences, which is the cynical part of me talking, but I think there's some truth in that. I think they do it a lot in comic books. I mean, you'd be the man to probably pick this one apart.
Well, I think it's a lot, studio stuff's interesting to talk about because it's a lot of it's to do with rights for characters. And I think because we're going to get some more X-Men films in the near future, because of the rights reverting to Marvel. So, there's a lot going on Disney Plus and stuff like that at the minute, which is trying to gear up to a sort of new set of phases for the comic books. And I think that we're going to see some familiar characters from, Bryan Singer's X-Men resurface before long.
All very good. Yeah, nice. It feels a bit lazy to me sometimes, the whole... We're going to just reboot the franchise, milk the cash cow, get the young kids in. And, you've got the crossover as well because the parents, they'll turn up because they'll want to watch it because they've probably invested in some point at this.
I mean, it can be done well. I mean, if we're sticking with that comic book idea, a large reason it's been done in comics in the past and as a result in film is because you know, you've got these characters that have sort of half a century long continuities sometimes, and they need to freshen them up or do them in a different way. I mean, one of the big things in Tony Stark's origin, which they carried over actually into the Marvel film, was originally the original Iron Man armor was developed when he was captured in Vietnam.
Right.
So those you know, those commie bastards, I went West Country then for some reason. Those commie bastards captured Tony Stark, and then when it rolled around to about 2008, when the Marvel Studios version was out, then it, you know, you needed to freshen that up. It didn't have quite the same resonance, so they had this kind of pseudo terrorism Middle Eastern setting instead.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. I get that. I guess also, I mean, that's an example in film and comic books, and in television, for example, a series can get cancelled for whatever reason. Maybe they didn't have the money, maybe it didn't get the pickup, maybe it didn't test that well, maybe people lost interest, and then it can get sort of brought back, can't it? Like, it gets like a new lease of life. And sometimes, you know, for the better, it actually is better than the original, because maybe they've got the budget or the technology now exists for them to like realize their vision or do it in a good way. An example that springs to mind would be Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because you had starfighters and robots and galactic war in that, which, you know, God bless them. They made a sterling effort in the 70s or 80s, whenever it was out. But yeah, some things, you know, can be revisited, can't they? And cheaper versions of modern day technology can really add that bit of shine or slickness to it.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't go too far the other way and everything's really CGI'd and you lose the sort of, I don't know, sometimes actually doing things for real and not green screen, especially in TV, like they don't have the Avengers budget to make a lot of stuff look that good, unless you're on Netflix, I suppose.
Well, our very own sort of, I don't know, Doctor Who's an interesting one, isn't it? If you think of our very own Doctor Who, you know, very famously had people in costumes, you know, with like coat hangers off their heads and, you know, big moth wings and all sorts of balmy, like ridiculous alien costume on them. But it's been revisited since. And is it a reboot, Doctor Who, in that sense? It's kind of, you've got a character that literally reboots themselves every continuity. So, but it's very much kept that kind of monster of the week sort of structure to the story a lot of the time, regardless of who's in it.
It's a good point. I guess because there was quite a hiatus in Doctor Who, wasn't there? Like, it was off the air for quite a long time. So maybe it is a reboot because it's come back. But I know what you mean. Like, they've now had a succession of Doctors, culminating in Jodie Whittaker at the moment. How long she's going to be in the role, we don't know. At the time of recording, in the year of our Lord 2021, she's still the Doctor.
It's political correctness gone mad.
I mean, it's badass having a female Doctor. I'm all for it. I guess the flip side of this as well is when you have like a TV show that then crosses over to be a film reboot, like Charlie's Angels or Bewitched.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Not the 90s Irish band.
The ones that were in their Irish national dress or double denim, as it's normally known.
Some people say I fade like me dad.
Good life. I didn't think we'd be doing that during this podcast, but I'm all for it. Okay, how do you fancy, Jim, a quick game of film reboots?
Oh, I'm always up for that. I'm cock-a-hoop if you... I got it in there.
Nice. Full disclosure, pulling the curtain back, I told Jim that you had to try and work cock-a-hoop into a pod somehow, and he's managed it magnificently, so hats off to you, sir.
Insert cheer sound effect.
Yeah. Okay, so what have we got here? I'm on Mars, and my helmet's cracked, and my eyeballs are popping out of my head.
Oh, Mars threw me for a second, but then you had the eyeballs popping out, and I'm thinking... Total Recall with Arnold.
Yeah, and wasn't it Carlin was in the, I can't remember what his last name is now. Is the guy out of In Bruges.
Oh, Colin Farrell.
That's right, yeah. I wonder if I haven't seen the remake. I wonder if they have that scene with the bulging eyes.
I think this is a bit of a thing, like, do you ever get put off, like, watching remakes? Because...
Yeah.
I haven't seen that because I've got a real affection for Total Recall, the original. And I've heard it's not a bad film, but I haven't seen it, probably for that reason.
Yeah, I feel the same way about RoboCop. Like, I have no desire to see the reboot of that. I mean, Paul Verhoeven's original, which I think we've talked about on this podcast, is just fantastic. I don't understand why they've rebooted it. I'm kind of glad that it flopped.
Yeah, it's not that bad, but it just... If you've got to go for it and remake a film or reboot it, certainly if you're going to sort of erase that continuity, like if we're sticking to the strictest definition, you've got to go gangbusters, haven't you, and really really knock it out of the park, I would argue, for a film like that.
Okay, so the Disney studio has currently become obsessed with reboots, and rather than being a traditionally animated form, they've done it a different way.
Yeah, so that you're thinking like Mulan and
Lion King,
Aladdin.
Where Pumbaa has the cold, staring eyes of a killer.
Yeah, and Seth Rogen's laugh, which is a lethal combo.
And Jungle Book, which, I mean, having Bill Murray as Baloo is a stroke of genius, but having Luther play Shere Khan, where he's like, "Give me that man cub, you slicks." You know,
yeah,
it's not quite right.
I see you've got a little red tie on or something, or yeah, it doesn't work.
One that excites me that is coming out and has been delayed, I think, because of the whole pandemic, is Denis Villeneuve's reboot of Dune.
Yeah, it's interesting. A lot of these examples we're talking about, you know, Jungle Book included, I guess, historical literature like Mulan. A lot of this seems to be people saying, okay, let's have a version, our version of this inspiration from literature, and we'll have a crack at that. That seems to be more of an acceptable thing. It seems to be like fertile reboot territory.
Yeah, I wonder if it just sort of reflects a sort of slight lack of creativity sometimes in Hollywood. You know, it's just easier to sort of reboot something that's existing. I don't know if there's a problem with like quality of writing coming through, or studios are just sort of playing it safe more. That's just my two cents on it.
Yeah, I think again it comes down to like a rights issue. I mean, one of the travesties of the going back to the comic book world is the whole idea of Fantastic Four, or Fanforstic as it was clumsily written as, in the latest version of that. And that is an absolute abomination, that film. I mean, you know, it's that, as if there's ever been like a grab for rights there, that's what it is, because everyone associated with it distances themselves from it. Mr. Fantastic's not even that stretchy.
that's what you're taking exception. He's not stretchy enough. I don't like it.
Well, yeah, that was my big takeaway. And they even said in the line, "Oh, what shall we call ourselves? Hey, I know."
Wait a second.
I got a fantastic idea. And then it like kind of cuts the face to black, and it's like, oh, that was just a waste of my life. This is the problem with it, isn't it? It's a kind of, you've got this, it there must be more fear to do sort of things and be more adventurous when you're looking at things like remakes. Because I'm really looking forward to Dune, to come back to what you were talking about. It looks... the original version, I don't think the tech was quite there to realise the Frank Herbert novel. You know, it's just so out there, that thing.
Was it David Lynch that did it?
Yeah, with Sting in his pants.
Yeah, he's ripped in that. He's like proper cut.
Yeah, he does. No, yeah. The pants were so unnecessary. Like, I read the book and I can't remember that bit. I remember there being a lithe, muscular man in it, but yeah, I can't remember him being in like a...
There's artistic license taken with it, for sure.
Sure, yeah. So, yeah, hit me with another one. I'm enjoying this game of reboot.
Well, I'm gonna change the goal, shift the goalpost a little bit, and I'm going to change it to... I want to call it hit or shit, but since we're a family podcast, that might not work so well.
Woo or poo.
Woo or poo. There you go. You've brought it back to a safe territory.
PG-13 response.
Okay. Jumanji, the reboot.
Oh,
woo.
I've seen this one.
Or poo.
I'm going to go woo.
I agree. I there's never enough rock in this.
Or Karen Gillan.
She's from Doctor Who, yes?
She is. I think I've got a latent sort of Whovian burning to get out of me. You know, I don't know what it is. I do like a bit of the Doctor and a bit of Amy Pond, isn't she? It's Amy Pond.
Mm, you're all about the timey-wimey.
I mean, The Rock, just that's I tell you what works so well about that is they've kind of captured the zeitgeist, the spirit of the times, haven't they, in terms of the sort of video game element of that. You know, a lot of these things are woo rather than poo because they might have a bit of a different take on the original idea, and I think that's probably a good thing to try and strive for.
Yeah, they've like updated it and taken some care and some interest in it, but right, back to the game. So I'm going to say that Total Recall was a poo. I'm going to say that RoboCop was a poo. Yeah, I'm being mean. Jumanji is a woo. The New Dune, TBC. I'm going to throw at you now, ooh, controversial, Ghostbusters. The all-female cast Ghostbusters.
Off the back of my totally ironic comment about political correctness going mad, just a little caveat there, I'm gonna say poo because... It's got nothing to do with that, has it? It's like, it was a bit lightning in a bottle, wasn't it? The original Ghostbusters, I think. Kind of the chemistry between the kind of great comic actors that you had in there. Yeah, does it have anything new to say, I think? Where, like, I'd argue Jumanji had something new to say. I've seen RoboCop. It didn't really have anything.
It didn't add anything.
It didn't really add anything, no. I mean, I generally don't think it's that bad. There's some good stuff in it. But yeah, it's, like I say, you've got to knock it out of the park if you're going to try and top the original. And I like Jumanji, I think probably it says something different enough to do that.
Fair enough. And I'm going to end now with an 80s childhood classic favourite of mine, The Karate Kid.
Ooh, that's an interesting one, isn't it? Because you've actually got like a sort of genre reboot with the TV series that's out at the minute with Cobra Kai. But I'm guessing you're talking about the Jaden Smith vehicle.
Yeah, which I think has Jackie Chan as Mr. Miyagi.
Well, for a start, he does kung fu in it. So, you know, accidental racism there, I think, with a bit of, you know, Chinese-Japanese relations there, calling karate kung fu, same thing. It's not on, so I'm gonna call poo on
you're
that.
You're poo-pooing that one.
Poo, sir. I'm pooing.
Okay, well, from our straw poll of woo or poo, it doesn't seem like reboots generally fare that well. But, you know, it's a small sample size and we've kind of picked, or I've picked ones which maybe weren't vehicles that sort of added something new.
They seem to fare better in television. Is that fair to say? There's a lot of kind of reboots of things like...
Supermarket Sweep.
We've mentioned, well, R.I.P. Dale.
Gone but not forgotten.
You know, I'm going to say, you know, Rylan, you know Dale.
But so, you are a lovable man.
Out of respect for the show, we'll not do woo or poo for Supermarket Sweep. But rest in woo, Dale.
Have you got any good examples for TV reboots that you feel have added something?
Well, Westworld was one recently I thought that was brilliant and was particularly the first series. And they kind of changed the whole, what the big difference there is the amount of world building that was involved in the subsequent series afterwards. Because I don't know whether you've seen it, Chris. Are you a Westworlder?
No, I haven't seen it yet, but when it was on, like when it first aired, there was a lot of people giving it a lot of hype. So I just didn't get around. I don't think I had Netflix at the time or whatever it was being streamed on. That's how far back we're going. So yeah, it's on the list, but the list is quite long.
Yeah, so I've only really finished sort of last year or the year before, and the latest series, and yeah, just what they, I guess with the sort of series structure, you can escalate things like episode by episode if you need to, and because you've, rather than an hour long or so film, you've got 20 hours to play with instead. What they do with that kind of initial premise, I think that's what I would say is a kind of success of that sort of adaptation. And you know, you put the might of HBO behind it, and I think it's Jonathan Nolan who's written it. So you know, it's based on a Michael Crichton original novel. You had the film with Yul Brynner, which was fantastic, but yeah, they really took it on to a different level, and it's really taken on its own kind of, I think when you're rebooting, you kind of take on your own mythos and you become a separate entity almost to the, that's when, you know, you've kind of cracked it because you've got a different kind of fan base and you've got a different kind of story to tell.
Hmm.
You've got video games here, which is an interesting one to try and, because that's a real thing now. So one of my absolute favorites recently has been God of War. So this was like a really arcadey, button mashy, you know, you don't know what's going on screen at any one time kind of thing. And they scaled it right back. So it was set like you were fighting 300 feet tall. It's a bit, basically think sort of like Clash of the Titans crossed with Conan, crossed with 300.
Okay.
Yeah. It's that sort of thing. And you play the God of War, or somebody who aspires to be the God of War. So he basically has to slay the gods of Olympus. And yeah, they scaled it right back to like this story with him, with his half-mortal son in the Norse mythology. So they completely changed the setting. And there's elements of the old story, but it's a new, completely new story to tell as well, related to the character. So it's interesting because it kind of stays true to the character, but it moves him on a bit. He's more sort of wanting to find peace. He's kind of not got the anger of a young man type thing going on. So it's very cinematic. It's very similar to film. And a lot of my favorite games are, to be honest. So it's one of those sorts of things where they take it in a different direction, and it's always for the better, I find. Or usually for the better.
Mm. Yeah, fair enough. That sounds good.
But you still get to twack people around the head really hard as well.
And you still get to mash buttons.
Yeah, if you want. I mean, it won't. You know, you wind up dead quite often. But yeah, there's other elements to it.
Okay, shall we wrap up with some forthcoming reboots?
Yeah. So what's on the cards? I mean, there's loads here that we could talk about. I mean, the one we talk about ad nauseum a lot of the times, kind of like we had the Terminator film recently, didn't we? The Dark Fate.
The less said, the better. I got so excited about that, and I shouldn't have done. And all my hopes got dashed. Like Jim Cameron back in the frame, Linda Hamilton. I mean, we were an Ed Furlong, you know, away from having the whole band back together.
Yeah, we got a CGI weird lasted 20 seconds one instead. Yeah, interesting one. Answers on a postcard, what you think of Dark Fate, guys. We'll put that open to you. Woo or poo.
Woo or poo. I feel like that's become our new metric, isn't it? Woo or poo. in our desperate grab for a certain demographic. Okay, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, TV reboot. What's this all about? I mean, if they haven't got a sassy cat that looks like a really awful bit of taxidermy, I'm out.
So that's out now, isn't it? There's the Netflix one.
Yeah, I believe so. But I think they've like zhuzhed it up a little bit.
Yeah, because they're famously linked to Archie comics. And I know they did a thing with, I think it was called Riverdale, where they sort of brought the Archie characters to real life. And I think they link somehow. But I've seen one or two episodes of this, and it's, man, Melissa Joan Hart, it ain't. It is just, there's like dark seances and human sacrifice. And
what about the sassy cat?
This ain't your grandpappy's.
I'm not hearing much sassy cat, so I think I'm out.
What? There isn't a sassy cat. He's called Salem.
But he's not a sassy cat.
You know,
they've lost me. Oh, I'm out. Yeah. I'm out. I'm done.
Okay. We're up.
The Matrix. So that's coming back. Directed by A. Wachowski, but not a Wachowski brother, because I think we've talked about this before on the podcast, Dave. Both transitioned, and they're now identifying as women, both of the Wachowski brothers.
That's quite an occurrence. But
if they're happy now, then full power to them. Yeah.
But The Matrix, you know, that is their baby, isn't it?
That was their thing.
Their real brainchild.
And I think all of the stars have signed up. So it's not just going to be like, I don't know, Keanu Reeves just giving it a bosh and no one else, but apparently the whole gang's involved.
It's often the case, isn't it? They try and reboot things. They just take the title, and I don't think they've fully titled it yet. A lot of it's been called The Matrix, or I've just seen Matrix, or I don't know, Matrix Rebooted. That would be pretty on the nose, that one. But they could do it if they wanted.
Here's one for you, Jim. I know you'll be excited. Sex and the City.
Oh,
minus yes. Samantha. So, you know, it's not all good.
Yeah, well, that's you know, that's not quite the reunion that fans would be hoping for, I'm sure.
And then there's a few odd ones, which again, I'm just, I think it's just because they're sort of iconic in my mind. And I think there's just, when you have films where the chemistry of the characters just comes together, like they're redoing Lost Boys, and I just, that is like 80s Brat Pack brilliance. They're never, it's got Alex Winter in it, pretty much his only role outside of Bill and Ted.
Well, this is what they did with Point Break, wasn't it? One of our previous podcasts and one of our faves. Yeah, they tried to do it in a like modern setting or with sort of, it just missed the trick. It didn't land at all. I mean, I haven't seen all of it, but what I have seen, I'm like, that isn't, you've taken, sometimes you can't deviate too far from the formula of the original. Otherwise, I don't know what it is, some kind, if you know your film, you kind of reject it, don't you?
Yeah, but then it might capture a whole new generation. I mean, it was this whole thing with Star Wars. Like my sister, who's a little bit younger than me, she loves the three films that came out in the late 90s, the ones everyone kind of universally panned, and she loves Jar Jar Binks because she was very young when they came out. And so that was her version of Star Wars. That trilogy were the ones that she sort of grew up with. And so she's got a soft spot for those. And the latest trilogy as well, I'm sure a similar thing will happen, where a generation of kids, those might be the ones that they're most familiar with because they came out when they were younger.
Yeah, it's a lot of it's about timing, I guess. I mean, apart from now where there's no films coming out, I mean, the film cycle was relentless, wasn't it? Every Christmas and summer.
Summer blockbuster and then get everything in before Oscar season.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, even Star Wars is an interesting one, isn't it? Because they are sequels, but they also try and reboot aspects of character or revisit old sort of themes to reach new audiences. Yeah. And where does that go from here as well? You know, are they gonna reboot that, or they seem to be going down this route of just kind of doing side stories and I don't know, is there going to become a point where the reboot's dead and people are just not going to tolerate this sort of stuff? I mean, there's a lot on the cards.
I mean, we are currently still living through a pandemic, and I think there's a lot of comfort for people. I think a lot of people are rewatching a lot of stuff that's very comforting or familiar, and maybe that's also being tapped into in a way. The studios are very limited in what they're able to do in terms of producing movies, but maybe there's kind of one eye on kind of what kind of works for people at the moment, like what's familiar, and yeah, I think it provides that sort of nice comfort since we can't go to the cinema anymore.
I mean, I'm going to see The Matrix, whatever it is, I'm going to go see it. It's too interesting to see. It's that kind of thing. They've got to do something different with it, haven't they? Because at the time it was
groundbreaking. They invented bullet time.
The much parodied in everything for about 4 or 5 years.
Can we get some bullet time on this? It's a Western. They have bullets. Yeah, and I think the two sequels, they didn't really hit the same high points as the first film. And it didn't really work. I mean, it kind of worked if you watched them literally back to back in the same day, but they didn't really fit together. And it was kind of, there was ambiguity and you didn't really know what had happened.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it'd be fascinating to see. And, you know, a few more on the list here. You've got...
Yeah, I haven't looked into that at all. I'm hoping it's just a continuation because why mess with that formula?
Yeah, I did. Well, is it going to be their same? Because they did the weird one where they kind of grew up as a cartoon. Oh,
I missed that.
And that was just like, no.
Was that a hard no? Was that a hard poo?
that was a hard poo, my friend.
Not a word in sight. Apparently there's going to be a new Conan the Barbarian film. Yeah, again. I mean, come on, people. Like, it was perfect with Arnie, who had like no lines because he barely spoke any English, but damn, did he look good.
They should do like Conan in his 80s, like when he's knocking around and he's knackered, you know, he hasn't got a puff in him if he wanted to.
Well, a bit like whatever Rocky they're up to now, like wheel him out of retirement.
Exactly. Yeah, get him like, you know, there's all these nubile girls around him and he's just like, he wants to sit down and have an Ovaltine.
I think your script needs some work, mate. All right, guys. So we've got Conan. He's aged a bit. He's surrounded by nubile, beautiful women, and he's just crying out for an Ovaltine.
It's a product placement opportunity, though. They won't.
I mean, it's an advert at best. No amount of woo is going to get that vehicle made.
Well, is that us?
Another storm. Another storm concludes.
We've talked once again about some of our favourites. the Terminator movies, RoboCop, Point Break. Oh,
you know what should Jumanji. Definitely not get a reboot?
Indulge me.
Bernard and his watch. Oh,
Bernard the basic bitch.
No reboot for you, Bernard.
Basic bitch.
It would be like one of those really pathetic watches that Bernard would have. Do you remember the ones when we were kids and it was like a digital watch and it was had like a big plastic flap and it was like a Disney character's face or something? That would be Bernard's watch. Like uber basic.
Well, we live and pray that that never happens again. What are we gonna talk about next? I mean, we haven't even mentioned Batman Begins. There's the remake of The Thing recently.
Yeah. I haven't seen the remake of The Thing or the original Thing. I've seen the middle Thing, so kind of the main course Thing, not the first, not the starter or the dessert, but yeah, the main course Thing, the Kurt Russell one. Well, I guess that wraps everything up on the reboots for now. What did you think? We'd love to hear from you, dear listener. Jim, how can they get hold of us?
Yeah, you can get hold of us very, very easily. If you go to our brand spanking new spangly
so shiny
website at, it is so shiny, shiny, shiny helmets, tropestormers.com. You can find us there and contact us at tropestormers@gmail.com as well if you want to contact us directly. And of course, we're across the socials on the following.
You can tweet us on the Twitter. You can face us on the Facebook. Check us out on the Gram. We're not super trendy cool kids down with TikTok yet, or whatever platforms all the hip kids are involved in that I don't understand. Chat snap.
I don't get that one.
I mean, talking of reboots, maybe MySpace should make a comeback.
It has a bit, you know. I've seen it. It's got a bit of a weird sort of sheen to it these days.
I thought it died a death. All right, well, as we always say here on Tropestormers, woo! Goodbye for now.
Bye-bye for now.
Couldn't
help yourself, could you?